But I pray that we all be ready for his return. Amen. First, give an honor unto the Lordship of Jesus Christ, who is first in my life. Unto the pastor of this great edifice, a man that I not only look up to because he's taller than I am, because I am older than he is, but a man that I admire in the Lord. Amen. To Reverend Palmer,
thank you, my man.
A good friend and brother. And to each of you, my brothers and sisters, I greet you this morning in the name and the love of the Lord. Amen. To my wife and children who are outdoing the Lord's business, I pray their safe travel and return. I am glad this morning that the Lord has allowed me to come to stand behind this sacred desk to preach a word. The last time the Lord allowed me to do such, I believe I spoke a word concerning Jesus did it. This morning, I'd like to read into your hearing from the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 24 through 34. Mark chapter 5, verses 24 through 44. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touch my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touch me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing, trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. There are three accounts of this passage of scripture found in the Bible. One in Matthew chapter 9, verse 20 and through 22. The one we've read, Mark chapter 5, verses 24 through 34, and in the book of Luke chapter 8, verses 43 through 47. Of the three, I will be directing my focus on Mark's version because it gives more information than the other two, and from it I've drawn a topic for today. Yeah. I'd like to ask the question, what do you want from Jesus? I'd like to draw your attention this morning to how from the very beginning of Mark chapter 5, you and I will find Jesus dealing with people who are being confronted with all kinds of unfavorable life issues, all kinds of unfavorable life situations and circumstances. First, there is the man who is living in the tombs, more commonly known today as the graveyard. The man was filled with a legion of demons. Did you know to die and be cast into the depths of hell is one thing? However, for this man to be living in a graveyard where everything that is around him is dead while he is still very much alive and full of a legion of demons have got to be an unfavorable life situation. I'm sure that when this man saw Jesus afar off, he wanted something that deep down inside of him he knew that only Jesus could give. Then we find Jairus, who had a daughter who was only 7 years old and at the very point of her death. For Jairus to be confronted with the possibility of losing his child at such an early age in life, it could not be a pleasant moment in Jairus's life, but rather an unfavorable life circumstance. And like you and I today, Jairus sets out to find Jesus. The text goes on to tell us that when Jairus finds Jesus, he begins to tell Jesus all about his problem. Jesus begins to go with Jairus to Jairus's house. And as they were traveling toward Jairus's house is when Jesus feels some virtue going out of him. The text says that there was a crowd of people surrounding Jesus because they had heard of all that Jesus had done. How Jesus had healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, and caused the lame to walk. How Jesus had just cast out not one demon, but a legion of demons from the man who lived in the graveyard. And so, like anyone in their right mind, the people had started to seek out after Jesus for all kinds of reasons. I believe that some of the people just wanted to see who this Jesus was. And what he looked like, while yet others needed more from Jesus than anyone could imagine. You see, one thing I've come to notice about being in the presence of a crowd of people is that some of them are only spectators. Even in the church at large today, not everyone who comes to the house of prayer comes for prayer. Some folk will come just to see what's going on. They're just a spectator. But the text says that while Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house, he was compressed round about by a crowd of people. And Jesus encounters this woman. This woman was not your ordinary, typical kind of woman, but rather she was a woman who had an issue. An issue that could not be resolved by any method that she had tried. An issue that had threatened her very existence. An issue which, according to the Old Testament, for a woman to be experiencing was considered to be unclean. Her issue was not just ordinary, an ordinary everyday issue. This woman was dealing with an issue of blood. The Bible does not say that this woman had this issue all of her life, which suggests that this woman may have known some sense of normalcy, and that now this woman is confronted with and dealing with this blood issue. The last time I checked, blood represents life. The Bible tells us that it was the blood of Jesus that washed away our sins. And according to the Levitical law, the woman could not be involved in a worship service, nor could she even attend a service. The Bible says that she had to stay away from the worship service for a period of 7 days. But this woman's issue went a lot deeper than that of the norm. This woman's issue had now lasted for 12 long consecutive years, which means this woman's issue isolated her, yes, from other people. In fact, when I looked at this woman's issue from another perspective, I found out that this woman's issue isolated her from people for a period of 105,192 hours, 4,383 days, 624 weeks, or 144 months. Can you forget about you and your issues for just a moment and try to imagine what this woman must have been feeling and going through? What do you want from Jesus? For 12 long years, this woman bore the emotional and psychological baggage of being unclean and untouchable, which for her meant no hugs, no kisses, no type of intimacy on any level. It meant that she could not prepare her family's meals. She could not do the housework. She could not be a wife. She could not be a mommy. All she could do was sit in total isolation and stare at the walls. For all intents and purposes, although she was just as much alive as you and I, she was as good as dead. But the Bible says that she heard. She heard that Jesus was passing through. And what I find interesting is the fact that the Bible even tells me that even though this woman was going through what she was going through, for as long as she was going through what she was going through, somehow she managed to make a right decision.
Yeah.
She chose to take whatever was left in her, whatever little strength she could muster up, and she purposed in her mind to get to Jesus. You see, the text says that during the duration of her unfavorable life issue, she had made some wrong choices. You and I ought to understand that today. Let's look at the text. Verse 26 says, she has suffered many things of many physicians, and she spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Have you and I ever made a choice or made a decision and followed it through to the letter and found out that the only thing we did was mess it up worse? For the carnal minded, these issues, situations, and circumstances all appear to be very bleak, unsolvable, dreadful, and impossible. But the Bible asks the question, is there anything too hard for God? The people in our text this morning could not fully comprehend nor understand exactly just who Jesus really was. The question is, do you really know who Jesus is this morning? I stopped by here in Mount Moriah to tell you that these people was in the very presence of the great I Am. They were in the presence of Elohim. They were in the presence of Jehovah. They were in the presence of El Shaddai. They were in the presence of Adonai, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Kadesh, Jehovah Shalom. They were in the very presence of Jehovah Tishkenu, Jehovah Rohi, Jehovah Shammah. They were in the very presence of God. How do I know this? I'm glad you asked. What I need you to understand this morning is that although you and I may not think too much about the dealings with blood, God takes the dealings with blood very seriously. To prove my point, it was not just by happenstance that the saints of old came up with the song, "Oh, I know it was the blood." In the song, there's power in the blood. It was God who drew first blood to cover our nakedness way back in the Garden of Eden and to finalize all things on our behalf. It was God who came down through 40 and two generations, put on human flesh, shed his perfect blood on the old rugged cross to pay a ransom for a debt that you and I could not pay, just so that we could be redeemed and restored in fellowship to a God that loves us unconditionally. Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing the word of God. The very next couple of verses speaks volumes to me as it should to you. For it says, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. It is one thing to want to be healed, but it's another to be made whole. Just like God did not make hell and a lake of fire for mankind, neither did God intend for mankind to walk around clueless nor ignorant of who he is and what he can do. He created mankind to be made whole. The very fact that God took the time to allow us to see that the first thing that happened to increase this woman's faith was the fact that she heard something. I need to tell you that you have to be careful about what you hear because it can make a difference in your life. She heard about Jesus, and hearing about Jesus made an impact on her life. Do you hear about Jesus, and does it make an impact on your life? Hearing about Jesus, no doubt, caused her to look at her situation again. And this time, when she considered her options, perhaps she began to realize that she had nothing to lose but everything to gain. When this woman heard about Jesus and all that he had done, I can see her wrestling with her infirmity. I can see her telling her infirmity that it's not over until God says it's over. The text says that she pressed her way in spite of her condition, in spite of her circumstance, in spite of her situation. The very desire to live within her compelled her to press her way to get to Jesus. She refused to let the crowd that stood between her and Jesus get in her way. She refused to let the doubters and the naysayers get in her way. She refused to let that which was holding her hostage and bound get in her way. She pressed. Is there anything happening in your life today that you've been dealing with, and no matter how many different ways you've tried to handle it and deal with it, your end result has always turned out negative instead of positive? Perhaps you might want to do like this woman and press your way to Jesus. I know that somebody here today needs a breakthrough. I know that somebody here today needs to be delivered from something that they've been wrestling with for what seems like forever. You need to press your way to Jesus. Don't let the crowd stop you this morning. Don't let that what the people might say about you stop you this morning. Don't let your situation, which is life-threatening, stop you this morning. You need to get to the only one that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. What do you want from Jesus? What I like about this woman is the fact that the text suggests that she had within herself came to the conclusion that even though she could not get to touch his hand, look in his face, or touch his feet, or any part of his body, she settled for just a touch of his clothing. You see, she had to have understood the customs and laws in that day, because she thought that if she had touched him, she might have made him unclean also. Which shows that even in spite of what she was going through, she was not selfish. She still cared about somebody else. Oh, my brother and my sister, I'm asking you right here and right now, have you an issue, a circumstance, or a situation that is hindering you from reaching out to Jesus this morning? And if so, I dare you. I dare you to just make a right decision. I dare you to reach out and touch the hem of his garment. If the woman in the text could press her way to Jesus with all that she was going through, surely you and I can muster up enough faith to reach out and touch Jesus. I understand that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and yet through his word he continues to encourage us to come to Jesus just as we are. I understand that we've made some wrong choices, but let me encourage somebody here this morning that today that you need to make a right choice. Jesus is still on the main line. All you have to do is call him up. He wants to be a mother to the motherless and a father to the fatherless. Jesus promises to stick beside you closer than any brother. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm so glad that Jesus was available. I'm so glad this morning that Jesus didn't look at Jairus' situation and would not entertain the woman. I'm so glad this morning that I don't have to stand right in Jesus' face. All I got to do is by faith. What do you want from Jesus?